And with the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. Yes, my name is Josh Nason, and it is also AEW Redemption Sunday on this July 26, 2026. If you're listening to this show on WrestlingObserver.com, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network via their app or iHeart or TuneIn. If you're listening to me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Tout, Hijack Zoom Call, YouTube, I thank you for checking in on this very sunny Sunday, at least where I am. A special shout out, of course, to those listening on the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service each and every day. And hey, if you or a friend need a way to listen, hit me up anytime on social media, Josh Nason on X or Blue Sky, and I'll help you out. Free ways to listen to the show, and I thank you for doing that. Big Sunday. I'm going to be with you for the next hour. For our subscribers, a little bit earlier than usual, ahead of AEW Redemption. If you're listening to this on Sports Byline, the show is coming on right when the pre-show for Redemption is coming on, so you'll also be plugged in as well with all things you need to know about the show. And yeah, it's a different kind of preview for tonight's Redemption from Montreal. I guess in a sense, we'll look maybe look some stats or some interesting fun facts that you may not know, if I can come up with any. But tonight's show, Montreal, Quebec, Canada. A lot of chatter about this show, so I'll do some predictions and some previewing. And if there's time, we may do some things I think, which includes some thoughts about WWE Radio. I did a column about Tony Khan. That may come up during today's broadcast. But yeah, there's a lot going on and a lot of fun things to discuss. And yeah, a interesting pay-per-view for AEW today. Essential? Maybe not. In-ring? Probably going to be pretty great. But what does it all mean? We'll talk about that and a bunch of stuff more. So stick around for the next hour on Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday. My name is Josh Nason, back with you in this AEW Redemption Sunday. If you're celebrating it, no matter where you're living, we're going to preview tonight's show, coming up from Montreal. And yeah, depending on where you're listening to this and when, I thank you for checking in. Let's get to it. I'm going to go through each and every match on the card. We'll try to do things a little bit differently. I apologize if you hear any kids in the background. My daughter's having some friends over, swimming at the pool. It's a beautiful day, beautiful weekend here in New England for once. So hopefully you're having a great weekend. You are. It's hard to believe. We're almost through July. SummerSlam next weekend. So we'll talk a lot about that on next week's show. We have some redemption for this week's show. So, of course, the show, I assume, will be headlined by Kenny Omega versus Kevin Knight. A lot of discussion about this match, you see. Of course, world title online. This is the first title defense for Omega since he defeated MJF for the title earlier this month. And, of course, we know all the conjecture, what led to this, and MJF taking some time off, perhaps due to injury. There's some question if he's injured, not injured, what he's doing. Anyway, he's not on the show. At least he's not announced for it. No in-ring. If he makes a surprise appearance, there's that. But who knows? This is Kenny Omega's, first title defense against someone who has competed for the title several times and has not won it yet. I don't think he's going to win it tonight. I'm not a big wrestling odds guy. No disrespect to our own Ian Carey. But, wrestling and betting have never really kind of made sense to me. There's a lot of betting things that don't really make sense to me. I digress. But the match is, the best way I can compare it is what others have brought up. This is exactly like Hangman Page and Kyle Fletcher at last September's All Out, which was a match where the title, the winner was really not in doubt. And that happens a lot in AEW. But it's somebody just designed to kind of get Fletcher to the next level. Now, is he at that next level? Did it help? I don't know. I mean, I think his own talent would have got him there, but certainly that match was very good last year. But this is the same thing. And, I'd heard the conjecture, of course, from our own host and Wrestling Observer Radio and someone that Okada may have made the best choice. But I think, maybe that's one that both guys don't necessarily want to do on a short notice. And they figure, well, if you're Tony Khan, this is a brand new pay-per-view for you. So essentially, revenue you get is all new. The expenses, of course, are new as well. So I don't know kind of what the dollar amounts are going to be after this. Is this show going to make money all in? No pun intended. Maybe. I don't know. place isn't sold out, the Bell Center. So clearly this was a card that was not driving a ton of fan interest in turning knee to go. We'll see where it ends up. But it was, you know, I guess we'll kind of see how things look inside. But, you know, they're running the U.S. And other places for these pay-per-views has been really good. Their attendance has been so much more than their weekly TV. But this one, I think it kind of reflects the overall feeling about this show is it's not really needed. Granted, if it was Omega and MJF, would it have done more tickets? Probably. How much more? A noticeable number? I don't know. And we'll never know. But regardless, we have this match. Omega's going to win, of course. Kevin Knight, the hope is he'll be elevated. I think he's kind of elevated enough just by his own talent, and really it's just a question of where he's placed after this that's going to make the most amount of difference. So I think this match will be outstanding in the ring, and we're leading, of course, all eyes are towards All In. And other options, were there other better options? Yeah, did they want to pull the trigger on it? I think it's one of those where, as I wrote in the column about Tony Khan, this is his AEW. He could do the conventional and think, oh, maybe, you know, let's just convince Okada and Omega to run this back in like a couple weeks' notice. Let's just do this, right? Or he may say, you know what? I think this, if MJF had any type of contribution in this, he won the TNT champion, regardless of who it was, to get a title shot. You know, there's that. How much that actually played into it. You know, I thought it was going to be Darby Allin versus Kevin Knight. Perhaps that was going to be the choice if it was going to be Omega and MJF after all. I mean, I think an Omega Darby Allin match would have been kind of fun. I know it would have been as kind of random as this, but I don't know. It's going to be a great match, whether it means anything, you know, that's going to be answered like a long time from now. Let's go to the rest of the card. As far as a co-main event, what's the second match you're looking forward to the most? The card overall, to me, it does feel, and I think I said this last week, it feels a lot like a beach break AEW Dynamite in a lot of ways. And I think it's just because some of the main players just aren't around. And, you know, the MJFs, the Hangman, Swerve's not on the show. We'll talk about him in a few minutes. But it feels like this is without a doubt a transitional show. I mean, I could go, I guess we'll, in terms of titles, we'll go from here. We'll go Tekla versus Willow Nightingale for the AEW Women's World title. Tekla, I can appreciate the love for Tekla. Different character, and it's really kind of she's a big personality, I think, has kind of grown into this role as Women's World Champion. Not the tallest woman, but has a physicality to her, which is different. And she had a tough job coming in to AEW when she did. Mariah May was out, and I think a lot of people were like, oh, they're going to slot somebody new in there, and it's going to be kind of the same effect, and it's a much different type of performer. And now she goes up against Willow Nightingale, someone I thought probably should have been the world champion before this, and someone I think should have been the one to defeat Jade Cargill and end her undefeated streak for the TBS title, someone that could have beaten Athena for the ROH Women's World title. They've given these very short title runs, and this is kind of my concern going into this. There's a lot of conjecture and assumptions that Willow's going to win this, and this is going to lead to Willow versus Mercedes at All In, and that's kind of the big match they want to get to. But you're only going to have Willow have the title for another month unless the plan is Mercedes is still not going to win the big one at All In, and this is going to lead to a, you know, multi-month run for Willow. You know, I don't love that both world champions are going to have potentially very short title reigns, you know, 1 month, a little over 1 month for the women, and then probably just, you know, a month and a half, give or take, for the men when things are all said and done, because we all know that Ospreay is going to win at All In. Part of me thinks you just, I hate to beat Willow again, but I think she does earn more than a 1 month title run. And to me, Tekla has kind of been in this position where she's done the work. She should be able to finish this off unless this is the Kairi Sane spot. And we're going to go to free agents and so on. Who could possibly debut on the show? And I think given the lack of buzz going into the show, I think the news coming out of it is going to be the debuts. I think that's kind of the tag here. But I think I could see Willow winning this, and Kairi Sane affecting this, and against Tekla, and this is part of kind of the Stardom tie-in and so on. AEW, I think, could use Kairi Sane. She's seen as a top player for some portion of the time in WWE, and I think AEW definitely needs that out of their women, because they, it's a story for another day, but if you look at their women's world champions, it is crazy how many are just like non-existent. Rio, Nyla Rose, Chris Statlander, who cannot seem to get any consistency. I think she's kind of admitted it's tough trying to figure out what her character is and who she is. Talented enough, but there's something there that just doesn't connect. Other women's champions we can get into at a different time. Obviously, Toni Storm is hurt, gone. I don't know what the deal is. We can make assumptions, but she's not around. I think Kairi could be someone you put in big women's matches, at least for the time being, and they got to figure out a way to kind of build some women up. Anyway, I think Willow wins this one, and I think Kairi Sane makes her debut, gets involved, kind of costs Tekla. There's going to be some sort of Sisters of Sin run in. Something's going to cause that where the odds need to be evened, and that's going to be one of the big stories coming out of this. And I do think Mercedes should have the women's world title. Again, if it's just if this is kind of the ongoing story where at All In she loses again, it's hard for me to picture, but the only way I would go with it would be if they're going to give Willow an extended run. She's earned it, and she's going to get her moment, I think, tonight in Montreal. When we come back, we'll go over the rest of the card. Plenty to talk about on this AEW Redemption Sunday. You looking forward to the card? Let me know. Josh Nason on X or Blue Sky. We'll talk to you. More Wrestling Observer Live. Come right back after the break. Wrestling Observer Live Sunday with Josh Nason back with you. If you're a subscriber listening to this on WrestlingObserver.com, I thank you. Or on our Spotify feed or Apple Podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you're listening to Sports Byline or American Forces Network, anywhere around the world, I thank you as well for listening. And yeah, let's keep going over this card here. So we have, let's see, we'll go over just in kind of the list I have here on F4WOnline.com. Mark Davis defending the AEW National Championship against Andrade El Idolo. I think we all assume, and I assume, Andrade is going to win this match. These two guys, they're workhorses, man. Mark Davis was left for dead. Absolutely left for dead after that split. He got hurt in Wembley when he hurt the forearm? No, I'm sorry. It was Wrestle Dream from a couple of years ago. Remember, he broke his forearm, I think, and he was out for a long time. Kyle Fletcher, they spun him off. He got beat a lot as a singles talent. Yeah, that crazy hair. And then we've seen what that's become. And Davis, when he came back, I was there when Will Ospreay came back in Manchester, New Hampshire for AEW Dynamite. Those filmed there November, was that last year? And it was, there was part of that Mark Davis come back. He didn't want to join the Don Callis family. They didn't really have a plan for him. And then he gets hurt again and comes back. And this last run, it's a mix of him, something flipped, and something with how Tony Khan changed this. Something changed, and now he is a made guy, but he's certainly a force now, a physical guy. Someone there when Sheamus got released, or he chose not to renew his contract, that you saw immediately people like, I need to see this. Mark Davis versus Sheamus, a hard-hitting match. Davis has essentially reinvented himself in a way that, without changing his look, other than he slimmed down and he's still the same guy, but how he's going about things, how he's presented, are much more dangerous in that feeling. And that's a fun thing to have. When Jake Doyle got hurt, Davis was on his own. That's where kind of things changed. And I expected, I think probably others did, they were just going to leave him on the bench again. But no, he's changed up. He deserves a lot of credit. Andrade has been working hard and is fun. The catchphrase is fun. And the split came at the right time. And onward and upward for him. He wins the AEW national title here. Perhaps increases the value of the belt a little bit more. But I want big things for him in the next year by the time we're at All In, wherever it's going to be, in 2027. We also have, let's see, a match. We have Chris Jericho versus Tommaso Ciampa. A no DQ match. One of several bloody affairs, I'm sure, on the show. But this is, it depends what your appetite for Chris Jericho is. No complaints about Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa is coming to AEW and has been, I don't want to even say as advertised, because we didn't really know what we're going to get. But as has been discussed elsewhere, you have two types of wrestlers from WWE that come in. The ones are expecting to be treated as gods and have that carry all the way through. And I would say they necessarily want to work hard, but they want to work how they want to work, booking-wise, presentation-wise, and all that. Then you have Tommaso Ciampa, who comes in and just wants to have great matches. Doesn't seem to have an attitude. Remember, he won the TNT title and lost it like within, like, was it 10 days? But he just keeps going and going. He's probably 50-50 close to his win-loss record. But this has been a fun angle with him and Jericho. First time ever these two guys have crossed paths in this whole angle, of course, in Beach Break with Ciampa picking up the win. Jericho bringing back his Painmaker gimmick, which it does look very corny. He is he's playing all the hits, which I assume was part of this comeback. You know, if they're going to go to a third match, because there's not really a natural off-ramp for where these guys want to go next, I could see Jericho picking up a win here, but this will be violent, and I don't expect to see both guys back for a few weeks. I'll pick Jericho here because I think they're probably going to go a third match. I don't know where they go from here exactly, but they're certainly somewhere. Kyle Fletcher defending the AEW International title against Bandido. Boy, what a strange situation around the AEW International title, huh? We'll talk about this more when we come up to the six-way ladder match in just a few minutes. But apparently, actually, we'll save that. But this should be a great match. Another first-time ever match. Fletcher is what Fletcher is. Bandido is what Bandido is. I don't expect Kyle Fletcher to lose the title. Kind of makes this is a... It's this pay-per-view as a whole, as we go through it, it's really a test for outcomes that we know are going to happen, but the in-ring is going to be great. And this is the ultimate test of how much will fans pay just to see great wrestling and some first-time ever matches that the outcome is virtually not in doubt. It's just a question of how we get there. Bandido is one of these guys who I am becoming more convinced that they're never going to give him that top level run that we all thought that he would get at some point. He can hang with anyone. He's great. He's entertaining. He is strong. He is fun to watch. The Brody King Association's great. But there's something with these masked guys that are, Tony Khan brings it to a certain point, and then they're just not going to get the big win. Sure, Bandido has the ROH world title. Why does he have this? It should be more of a developmental title. But Bandido is not going to get these top-level belts in AEW. I just don't think he is. A national title, maybe, but what about the track record shows you that it's going to be any different? What does he have to do? Kyle Fletcher wins this one. Should be a great match. Could be a dark horse or match of the night. This should be a good one. Kyle Fletcher against Bandido for AEW International title. I think this match I completely blanked on. This is your co-main event, I think, right here, with all apologies to Tekla and Willow. The Death Riders, Jon Moxley and Will Ospreay taking on the Young Bucks. Duh. Of course that's essentially your co-main event. Kind of random how this got put together. The Young Bucks seem to be treading water until, in a good way, but just a storyline way, treading water until they get to what everyone assumes is going to be this all-in match against Copeland and Christian Cage. FDR could be involved, I guess, or he could just leave them out. It all depends on one of these spots in these tag team matches if we have any new guests. Emphasis on new being the New Day. They're definitely coming in. We all know that. But who will it be against? And how will they be involved in this? A Young Bucks New Day match all in? Great. Would make sense. Would you do a Cage Cope FTR match at all in? That seems we've seen that before. They could just do they could just go with the Young Bucks New Day approach. And they could go with a Copeland Cage FTR 2 out of 3 falls match or something. I could see Tony Khan doing that. But you have the Death Riders and Jon Moxley. Do you get the same feeling as I do that I don't, putting it outside the realm of possibility, that match becomes a three-way at All In. He is really involved in this, huh? This was pointed out by one of our editors in one of our Slack chats, that he's just really kind of done a good job positioning himself near this whole top line thing. He is the AEW Continental Champion, but is there any natural feud for him? Not really. The feud seems to be with John Moxley or Kenny Omega. And obviously there's a Will Ospreay angle. That turn is going to take place sometime after he wins the title All In. I guess they could do it as quickly as All Out. They could save that for WrestleDream. It all depends kind of which big show they want to run. But we know we're going to see that. But how does Moxley fit into the plan for All In? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Just kind of put that in the back of your mind. So I will say I think Moxley and Ospreay win this match. And perhaps after the Bucks are kind of just, you know, they're recovering from their defeat in the ring, that disappointed look, and all of a sudden that's when the New Day comes out. I could see that. I could totally see that. Then we go to the AEW Tag Team Championship of the World. Adam Copeland and Christian Cage defending against Claudio Castagnoli and Pac. I've not been a fan of the Copeland Cage run. I'm becoming less of a fan of it just because they just don't feel like they're around. And I guess they are in some backstage segments and brawls and things like that. But this, it feels like we're kind of coming to the end of this, in that there's the crowd pops for Copeland and so on. Like, it's a fun thing. It just doesn't feel like they fit anymore. I think that long absence for Copeland, that affected things. But also the fact that, you know, he went and filmed the movie, then Cage was just gone. There's just something about it just doesn't feel like they're needed anymore. I think we're kind of coming near the end where, you know, by this time next year, I don't know if we need to have them around at all. Let's get there, check the bucket list with the Bucks match they want to do. I wouldn't mind seeing an Omega Copeland match at some point, just because we've never seen it before. But yeah, there's much more to come on this. Coming up on the break. Oh, we actually got a little bit more time. But yeah, Copeland Cage, they'll pick up the win here. Should be a fun match. Castagnoli and Pac, they always come to play. But yeah, Copeland and Cage will pick up this one, retain the titles. And again, it all depends on how we go into All In, where it makes sense. We could do a four-way tag match between the Bucks, FTR, A New Day, and Copeland and Cage. But I think you want that holy S moment, the chant moment of the Bucks and the New Day staring each other down in front of, you know, 40,000, 50,000 people, wherever it's going to be at Wembley. Can't you kind of see that? Who knows? You could do the four-way and have that same moment, but I think you want that two-on-two moment there. And you could do the same thing with Copeland and Cage and the Bucks. You could do an FTR versus New Day thing. And there's a bunch of different ways they could go, but I expect the New Day to debut tonight as well. So I'll be those two and then Kairi Sane. And that's all I expect for tonight. When we come back, more AEW Redemption Preview. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, back after this. Wrestling Observer Live, AEW Redemption Sunday, previewing the full card for tonight's show. If you missed anything, if you're listening on Sports Byline, you can check out the replay on WrestlingObserver.com. If you're listening on WrestlingObserver.com, you haven't missed anything. So let's keep getting to it. And we'll see how long it takes to get through the rest of this. So let's see what we have left to go here. The AEW Trios titles. This match was made on Collision on Saturday. The show I don't know how it's watched by that many people. There's a lot of wrestling this week. Of course, the conglomeration, Kyle O'Reilly, Orange Cassidy, Roderick Strong, defending against the Lethal Twist, which is Jay Lethal, Blake Christian, and Lee Johnson. I believe this is on the pre-show. Will tell you all I kind of think about this. I am not really into the conglomeration really at all. Lethal Twist, I mean, Jay Lethal is talented, but it's just, again, one of these guys that I don't really know. They don't really need him. Blake Christian, Lee Johnson, these are guys that get hurt when AEW brings in a ton of talent. So, and they just don't really get the chance to shine. Maybe this is kind of the level they're going to be at. Anyway, they're getting an opportunity on a pay-per-view, taking on Kyle O'Reilly, Orange Cassidy, and Roderick Strong. Again, the Trios titles, there was once a time that it really thought this was going to be something. And it just, it, it, it just doesn't feel like it, does it? At least to me. They're really kind of secondary titles, and to me, they were going to be positioned a lot differently. But you have this large roster. I think that's this has been kind of a side effect of that. When you have a large roster, you create titles to give guys other things to do. Whereas, you know, you don't have Omega and the Bucks competing for these titles regularly, or, you know, like everyone kind of has their lanes now versus more crossing over, which you might want to like to see if, you know, if there was a shorter roster, because then you can kind of justify it more. But we get, and I guess we don't get upset. But yeah, the conglomeration, I assume they're going to win this. I don't really know what's next for them. I get nothing from this. So it could be like Don Callis family, villains of the month. You know what I mean? That type of thing next for them. We talked about Tekla, Will, and Gale, the Mark Davis match, Kenny Omega match, Jericho Ciampa, Kyle Fletcher Bandido, the tag team title match, the Death Riders, the TBS title. Will be in the line. Hikaru Shida against Maya World. Shida is someone that I think is kind of past their expiration date for me in terms of caring, as far as not her caring, but like me caring about watching her. It's kind of, again, this, I guess they're doing something with her, former AEW world champion, but just doesn't really do it for me anymore. This latest run, I mean, she was gone for a long time, their visa issues and whatever. And this match is really about kind of what they're going to do with Maya World. I expect Shida to retain, and I expect Athena to cost Maya World the match, leaning toward All In, where Maya World is the one to end the 22-year reign of Athena as ROH World Champion, hopefully ending any future shot of someone having the title for over 1,000 days, especially in what should be a developmental group like Ring of Honor. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I think Shida's going to win. Athena will make an appearance. Maya World, there you go. I don't really know what's next for Shida. Again, there's no Chris Statler on this card. There's a lot of women not on this card. So who knows there? But yeah, the Shida thing doesn't really do much for me. But Maya World, they seem to have something, and they're going to go with it. But I think they're going to go with it All In. So that's my prediction there. Then we have the 6-way ladder match. I was talking about this earlier. Very random. And when I say random, it's just this. Tony Khan did an X Live post right after Dynamite ended on Wednesday, where he wanted to kind of explain the situation. So Mystico, who was not even announced for the show, got hurt. I don't know if his storyline injury. I apologize for not knowing that. He got injured at CML All Show in Arena Mexico the Friday before. There was some sort of angle there, and so he wasn't going to be able to be on this. And essentially, Tony Khan said without saying it, he's going to get an international title shot at some point. But that's not going to happen because he was injured. And regardless, I assume that was going to happen at Arena Mexico coming up in 2 weeks for AEW Grand Slam Mexico. Instead, we have a 6-way ladder match to determine the Intercontinental, or the next title to the International title, rather. Jack Perry, guys drawn, quote-unquote, at random, luck of the draw. We had Jack Perry, we had Commander, Mike Bailey, Beast Mortos, and then they're going up against Nick Wayne and El Clone, who won qualifying matches on Saturday's Collision to Advance. El Clone defeated Leo Rush, and Nick Wayne defeated his longtime rival, A.R. Fox. All action, should be fun. El Clone is one of those guys that is rapidly moving up my list of when he's on. I kind of put the laptop to the side. There's something about him, man, and I feel very bad for Commander, or with a hologram when he comes back. And yeah, I don't know. I think El Clone is kind of one up that. I don't know where Hologram fits in this company when he comes back. Regardless, Jack Perry, Beast Mortos, Commander, Speedball, Mike Bailey, Nick Wayne, El Clone, all action. I mean, Mike Bailey's the local guy, you know, he's going to win this, has to win this. And they'll put on a hell of a match against Kyle Fletcher. I believe they were both in the Continental Classic this past year. They put on an incredible match there, so I think we're going to get that, and it's going to be great. That's my prediction, Speedball Mike Bailey. And then to round out the card, 11 matches as the time I'm talking right now, unless something gets added like right before the pay-per-view. The Bang Bang Gang versus the Dogs, Jay White and Juice Robinson, against David Finlay and Clark Connors. David Finlay, not Finlay. And a double dog collar/double chain match. So we're going to have blood in this one. We'll have blood in the No Holds Barred match. And I thought there was like a third. I bet we'll have blood in some other match. Just kind of the way things go. But we have some violence on this show. Jay White kind of working his way back into things. Juice is, I think, in this because he's just going for everything. It's the Bang Bang Gang is kind of weird again because they have these so injured inconsistency. You know, the Guns Brothers, I think there's something there, but they just don't get enough run. Ace Austin wrestles maybe once a month. You know, it's just this two main guys on the roster. The Dogs are missing somebody, being Gabe Kidd. Perhaps Gabe Kidd comes back. All the other visas are taken care of. So perhaps this is the one that Gabe Kidd comes back on. So yeah, Jay White, Juice Robinson against the Dogs, Dave Finlay and Clark Connors. And Swerve Strickland's coming back on the show, I think. Tony Khan hinted as much on the media call he did on Thursday. Essentially, he had asked about Swerve Strickland's stress. He said he was going to be at Comic-Con with him. I have not seen, I was actually out this weekend, so I've not seen if he actually did not show up or not. But he said, I'll be taking, so essentially his answer, I'll be taking questions after Redemption, so it'll be a good time to talk about it then. To me, that was a heavy intimating that he was going to be on this. I've heard otherwise, it'd be a surprise if he was on it, but who knows. But if he was to come back, you try to look for kind of like natural places where he might come back. What if all of a sudden he came aligned with the Dogs and they were like his new faction? Would that kind of add a little bit to the Bang Bang Gang, the Dogs feud? Maybe get a Jay White, Swerve Strickland big match down the low, down the line. Yeah, line rather, easier for me to say. Just something to think about. I mean, he could appear during the Moxley-Ospreay match, and maybe, as I'm talking about, maybe that is where he appears, because maybe it's a Moxley-Strickland match at All In. Perhaps. I don't know. Trying to fit in, see where the big guys fit in. I don't think Heyman's coming back on the show. Tony Khan talking about, he said his return was imminent. I don't know if that means here, because if my assumption is right, and you have the New Day, Kairi Sane, and Swerve Strickland, if you bring back all these people, does that just mean that how many is too many have it make an effect? So we'll see what happens. But that's your 11-match card as of now. Again, it feels unnecessary. I won't beat that dead horse again, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. If there ever was, I guess, one to kind of skip, this does feel like the one to skip. But I think AEW fans, the hardcores, will get FOMO. They'll be watching on X, seeing all these crazy highlights and kind of wishing they had watched it. Overall, good in-ring show. But in terms of the impact, I don't know if we'll see that. I don't know if we'll see it. But hey, we'll watch it all together and we'll go from there. I do have a little bit more time. So why don't I get through some of these other, some of these news and notes and things that kind of stuck out to me during the week. Some things I think. And I think that, as I wrote in a column this week, that the WWE radio thing the SiriusXM it's not great if you're into independent media in terms of like, it's not good WWE is taking over another way that fans get their content. But they also know that there's really nothing we can do to stop it. This is just the way of the world. There's going to be no AEW talk there, no New Japan talk, Indies talk. You know, there'll be WWE, TNA, and AAA talk, essentially. So I'm interested to see how this plays out over the couple weeks. I do not expect, I mean, have they talked about Redemption? I don't know. I'm also, you know, there are some people that are like, I don't know why people are getting so upset about this. Because a lot of us remember a time when this wasn't this blatant. But now leagues just getting into bed with media partners is the way of the world. And this is kind of your latest version of that. So wasn't my favorite thing this week. You can read my column at the website, WrestlingObserver.com or F4WOnline.com. And yeah, a little bit of an unk, I guess, my buddy website editor Joe Courier might say when it comes to this. I just remember a different time, but times are changing. Other things that caught my eye this week, I mentioned the Kyrie prediction. I did here's one. The thing about WWE is, especially their sponsorships, like, is everything sponsored? I saw a tweet that now fans can vote via Wingstop, who is one of their partners, sponsors. Fans can pick what Liv Morgan wears at SummerSlam through like a poll at Wingstop somehow. Like, it just, that feels gross to me. Kind of like the New York Knicks thing last week, kind of, as I mentioned, didn't feel great to me. That doesn't feel great to me. I think there's fan involvement, and I think there's like, I don't know. This just feel, pardon me, it makes sense, but I want the performers to pick what they wear. I don't want fans to like pick what a woman wears on a show, or really anyone to wear on a show. It just seems strange, right? But this is just the way of the world. Pat McAfee putting out an album. There's some question about whether we're going to do a story on that on our website. It's like he's WWE adjacent still, I think, but we might be kind of nearing that point. But do we have to report anything on what he does? But I saw this announcement, putting all that aside, the McAfee announcement, and I was like, okay. I mean, this is what happens, right? People. Does he need to put out an album? No, but people that are well known get to do whatever they want. And I mean, they've already pitched him as Ari Emanuel thinks he's going to be the next Sylvester Stallone. They really want to make Pat McAfee a thing. And when it doesn't feel natural, that's when you get pushback. So we'll see how Pat does with his album. I did a column on Tony Khan that you can check out on the website as well. How this is his AEW, and actually Redemption is a good, we'll wrap it up this segment. This is a good way to end it. This is his AEW. You don't like it, you're just going to have to deal with it. Whether it comes to very long pay-per-views, pay-per-view main events, or you might be like, I don't know if this makes sense or not. Or the fact we're getting an additional pay-per-view. If you want overruns, if you're just like, this is just too much, why they have so many people on the roster, you can talk to the wall, man. This is his AEW. Like it or not. Big, important years for him coming up, and I can't really blame him. This is his company. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, wrap up the week, and look at the week ahead. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason, back after this. Wrestling Observer Live, final segment. If you're listening on WrestlingObserver.com, thank you. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Sports Byline, American Forces Network. Tune in, iHeart, wherever you're listening. Thank you very much. We'll be back here next Sunday talking all about SummerSlam, but before we get there, let's talk about the week ahead. That's right. The week ahead, sponsored by me, because I'm just saying I'm doing that. So, of course, we have Redemption coming up tonight. You can check all the coverage out on WrestlingObserver.com before and after the show and during. We also have, let's see, what are we coming? Of course, Raw on Monday, NXT on Tuesday. We have Dynamite coming up, of course, on Wednesday. This is not Grand Slam Mexico. That comes up the week after. And if you remember, the last post-pay-per-view Fallout show for AEW Dynamite was actually pretty good. In the past, they're not good, or they're fine. They don't really have that, like, okay, well, here's the next immediate direction we're going in. I feel like that might happen after Grand Slam, but then that's, you know, 1 week closer to All In, so we'll see how that goes. But I don't have high hopes for this Wednesday, but I think we'll have, you know, some of the new stars on the show, perhaps they'll be a little bit more elevated. I enjoy that when they do that. But yeah, my prediction, Kairi Sane, The New Day, and I think Gabe Kidd will return tonight, and I think Swerve Strickland will return tonight as well. Wednesday, of course, Ring of Honor, AEW Collision is airing on Thursday because SummerSlam is coming up this Saturday, so don't forget that. Going head-to-head with their rivals, TNA Impact. Sorry, Hatman. We also have WWE SmackDown on Friday. And, of course, night one of SummerSlam on Saturday in AAA. We have, of course, New Japan G1 going on, so on. You get all the coverage on our website. Again, next week we'll do a little bit of chatter about night one, but mostly it'll be focused on night two of SummerSlam. A show that, are you feeling it? I don't know. I'm very intrigued by a lot of things going into this and a lot of things coming out about it. We'll talk more about that next week on Wrestling Observer Live. Thank you so much. I am Josh Nason, and this has been the Sunday edition of Wrestling Observer Live. Enjoy AEW Redemption.